Take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1. Last week we started this study. We'll probably be in this book for a while because it's got several long chapters in it. And last week we talked about God in the flesh. The main precept of John is talking about Christ's divinity. Talking about that He is deity. He is God. He is the Almighty. He is the Creator. And there's a lot of false religions out there that say He's not. And we can also see in his letters, 1 John, that anyone who says that Jesus Christ is not coming in the flesh is Antichrist. And so we basically need to understand that God is who He says He is. In verses 1 through 5 of John chapter 1, we see that Jesus is God. He is the beginning. In Revelation, it says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He has not changed, because He says, I am the Lord, changeth not, because He and God the Father and the Holy Spirit are all one God in their three separate individuals. He is the Creator. All things were made by Him. By Him, all things consist. He is also life. He gives physical life. He knows us before we're even born. He also gives eternal life, and we need to believe on His Son. Then, and He is also the light. He is the source of light. He is the strength. He is also a stumbling block for all those that won't believe. It's not can't believe, it won't believe. And there's just people just can't get over this. They can't get over that they're not God. Jesus Christ is God. And if you don't know Him as your Savior, you're lost. And if you don't know Him as your Savior and you're lost, you're not going to heaven. And you will have an eternal damnation in hell. It's just that simple. In verses 6 to 9, we see that John the Baptist is not Jesus. He is mortal. He eventually gets beheaded by Herod for what he said about his wife, who he shouldn't have married in the first place. We see John the Baptist's mission, and that is the impetus of our lesson tonight. And we see his message. Then, in verses 10 through 14, we see that Jesus is the God-man. We see His presence. His people rejected Him. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. His power. He gives us power to become the sons of God, even to them who what? Believe on His name. His performance. In verse 10, it's not by man's will, it's by the Father's will. It's by Christ's will. It's by God's will that this happens. And whatever God says, as we talked about in Children's Corner Sunday morning, He always keeps His promises. He always keeps His promises. And then we see His person. We beheld His glory, the only of the begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. And we're going to see that theme continue. So tonight the message is the voice. No, not the show. But I thought I might get your attention tonight. John the Baptist is the voice crying in the wilderness. He was the voice that they should have been listening to so they would have identified who Christ was and followed Him. But we know that He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. We're going to be looking at John chapter 1, verses 15 through 34 tonight. 15 through 34 tonight. And what we need to do is we need to listen to the messenger of God. Anytime the Word of God is preached, you need to listen to it. We need to listen to it. So, in our passage tonight, it says, John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, this was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem, ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias or Elijah? And he said, I am not. Art thou thou prophet? Deuteronomy 18:18. He says, and answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou not be that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you, whom ye what? Know not. He it is who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him. If you know Matthew chapter 3, the account of his baptism, we see that. And that's one of the three, that's one of the several places in the Bible where we see the triune God and three persons there. And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he which baptized with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the what? Son of God. See, tonight we need four things. We can see four things out of this passage. We all need to be witnesses. We're all commissioned to be witnesses. We have the message that Christ is coming back. The time of John was before his first advent. Our time is before the second advent. We have John's mission. But let's look at John the Baptist. Now, the Baptist church did not start out of John. I want you to understand that. Okay? He was John the Baptizer because he was known because he's out in the wilderness baptizing people. Okay? Basically preparing them. So, the first point is, John knew for whom he was witnessing. John knew for whom he was witnessing in verses 15 through 18. So let's go back there and let's look at this. It says here in verse 15, the first part, it says, John bare witness of him and cried. See, he had to make a decision. His decision is whether or not he's going to follow God's word or not. Whether or not he was going to follow God's will for his life or not. Because remember, his birth was a miraculous birth. He was the son of Zacharias and Elizabeth was beyond childbearing age. Okay? So John the Baptist was a miracle in himself. He made a decision he was going to follow God's word. He made a decision he was going to follow God's plan for his life. He made a decision that he was going to do the will of God. And we see that. It says, and John what? Bear witness of him. Folks, it is the will of God that we bear witness of him. It is the will of God that we fulfill scripture in him. It is the will of God that we follow the word of God in our lives. Secondly, in the last part of verse 15 and in 16, we see his declaration. He says, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he is before me. Okay? Jesus Christ is exalted above all. This issue for preference here is he is above all. So what we see here is we see the deity of Christ right here in two ways. First of all, he's above all. He's preferred above the prophet John. The second thing is because he is preferred before me, and he was what? Before me. Before John even existed, Christ is. Not was, is. And so what we see here is we see Christ's position here in verse 15. In verse 16, we see Christ's power. And of his what? Fullness have all we received. You can deny that there's a God, but it says the fool said in his heart, there is no God. We live in his benefits. He sends the rain on the just and the unjust. He is God. Period. There is no debate. And it's of his fullness, what? We've all received. We have all received some benefit from God, even before we're saved. Even before we're saved, because he's God. And we need to understand that he is, as Hebrews says, that we have to believe that he is and come to him. And so we see Christ's power, and then grace for grace. We sing the songs about grace. Marvelous grace of our infinite Lord, loving Lord. The issue is grace greater than what? All our sin. When we think we understand God's grace, there's more. So this issue, this phrase here, grace for grace, is it talks about a superabundance of grace. You know, we can give grace to people ourselves, but there's a limit to our grace, isn't there? There's a limit to our patience. There's limits on us. God's limitless. Okay? So we see his decision here. He bare witness of him. And he didn't hold it in. He cried out. The second thing is he declared God for Christ for who he was. He said, this is he. He's above me. He's above all. And he is before me. He's eternal. The second thing is his power. In verses 17 and 18, we see his discernment. His discernment. In verse 17, we see of Christ is of something better. Something better. Verse 17 says, for the law was given by Moses. Now, who gave the law to Moses? God did. What is the purpose of the law? To find out that we need a Savior. To find out that we have sin. What's Christ's mission? Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the what? Sins of the world. Okay? So here is something better. The law is our schoolmaster that we need to understand that we need grace. We need forgiveness. We need mercy. It says here, but grace and truth came by who? Jesus Christ. All those Jews back then were just thinking about Moses. They weren't thinking about Jesus. They just ignored all the prophecies in the Old Testament. And when Jesus showed up, they said, that's not him. He's of the devil. What? Really? How can you see this? But they did. Remember, John is writing to refute the common belief of the Gnostics of the day that Christ didn't come in flesh. And that Christ was just an apparition. So, John says, he's better than the law. Grace and truth for us who are saved, understand that it supersedes the law. And we're in no more condemnation of the law. Because that was done on the cross. So his discernment in verse 17 is of something better. His discernment in verse 18 is this of someone bigger. Of someone bigger. And no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So John is just saying, Christ is coming. I am looking for him. I believe what God's word says. I am doing what God told me to do. You know why? Because I have to. I want to. Folks, that's what we need to do ourselves as witnesses. declared his preeminence, declared his power, and declared that he's better than the law. So John knew for whom he was witnessing. Now in verses 19 through 24, John knew who he was. You know, you can't witness for someone unless you actually believe it. We can't witness for Christ, truly witness for Christ. We can say the truth, but we really truly need to believe it and have a relationship with him to share it, to share that gospel. I know the word of the Lord, will, the word of the book will not come back void. But the issue is, John knew who he was. Now I'm sure he was told by his parents what his circumstances were. I'm sure his parents taught him in the Old Testament, because John knew he was the one crying in the wilderness. He was the fulfillment of Isaiah. So John knew who he was. Folks, you need to know who you are to answer the critics. Because in verse 19, he is confronted. It says, and this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? Now, I have a question for you tonight. If someone came up to you and they asked, who are you? How would you answer? Would you answer with your name? Or would you answer with the fact that you're saved and you're a Christian and you're a follower of Christ and you want to be a disciple of him and you want to be closer to him and that you're a witness for him? So they come up and they say, who are you? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, for us says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready to always to give an answer to what? Every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear. Now, John the Baptist was not very meek, okay? He called them vipers and all sorts of things. But the issue is he spoke truth because he knew truth. And he knew who he was. Do we know who we are? We are Christians. We're bought with a price. We're not our own. So the issue is, John knew who he was to answer the critics that were being sent to him when confronted. In verses 20 through 22, to answer the critics when challenged. We've already seen in 1 Peter chapter 3 that we give an answer to every man of the reason of the hope that's in us. Here in verse 22, and he says, and he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. So John told the absolute truth. How many times when we're confronted, we go politically correct? And we kind of take their words, kind of meld them around so it's palatable to the hearer. John didn't do that. He says, I am not the Christ. I am who I am. I am who God made me. And nothing can change that. You know what the Jews were doing? They were challenging John's authority. He was getting a large crowd. He was getting followers. People were starting to buy into the fact that Christ was soon to appear. They thought that that stuff that happened 30 years ago with this rumor of this boy, this baby born in a manger in Bethlehem, and the shepherds and all this other stuff happening was hearsay. And so we're going to have to stand for who we believe. We're going to have to witness for who we believe. See, when Jesus started doing his ministry, he goes in the temple, and in Mark chapter 11, verse 28, it says, and say unto him, by what authority dost thou do these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things? When we are a witness for Christ, as John the Baptist was a witness for Christ, people are going to challenge him and say, who gave you the right to start this? Who are you? Who are you? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15 says this, "For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." So they ask him in verse 19, he says, "Who art thou?" Verse 20 says, and he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." Well, that answer wasn't good enough for him. So what did they do in verse 21? They asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" Why? Because they knew that Elijah was going to come back before Christ came. We'll get to that later on in the study, okay? And he said, "I'm not." "Art thou thou prophet?" In Deuteronomy 18:18, it says, "I will raise up a prophet among you who will teach you all the things that he hears." Okay? John the Baptist could be that prophet, but prophet in the Old Testament is capitalized. So they're really kind of talking about Christ. Okay? "Art thou thou prophet?" And he said, "What? Nope." That's not acceptable for them, because people want an answer, right? Verse 22. "Then said they unto him, Who art thou? If you're not Jesus, if you're not Elijah, if you're not that prophet, what are you doing out here in the middle of the wilderness baptizing a bunch of people? What are you doing out here? And that we may give an answer, we got to answer our superiors. We got to answer our superiors. That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?" So John knew who he was when he was confronted. John knew who he was when he was challenged. Folks, it's going to come more and more that we're going to get challenged for our witness of Christ. "Who are you?" "I'm a Christian. I'm blood bought with the blood of Christ. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe he was buried. He rose again. He sits on the right hand of God and he's coming back. I believe that. And my job is to tell you that whenever I get a chance." Paul said, "I'm compelled. I have to do this." John had to do this. John knew who he was to accept God's purpose for him. See, there's a lot of people that we get saved, which is God's purpose for our life. But that's just the beginning. The rest of our life, we're supposed to serve him. And so in verses 23 through 24, John knew who he was to accept God's purpose. In verse 23, he says, "I am the voice." Well, you know what that italics means in the Bible? It means it's not there. I think it reads better. He says, he said, "I, the voice of one, I am it, crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah," or Elias. John knew who he was to answer the critics when confronted. John knew who he was to answer the critics when he was challenged by why he was out there doing what he was doing. John knew who he was to accept God's purpose scripturally. Scripturally. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9. Everyone that was speaking for God in the Old Testament has this. It says, "Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." Folks, the same thing happens to us when we're saved. God puts his words in our mouth. We should proclaim his word. He accepted God's purpose scripturally. Are we accepting God's purpose as a witness scripturally tonight? Secondly, in verse 24 says, in verse 23, it goes on and he says, as the prophet Isaiah, we accept God's purpose spiritually. We have to do what God wants us to do, and it's going to be in accordance with God's word. We have to do what God wants us to do, and it needs to be in accordance with God's will. John is acting in both of them. He is fulfilling scripture, and he is doing what God told him to do. Can we say the same for us? Titus 1 verse 9 says, holding fast the faithful word as he had been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to what? Exhort and to convince the gainsayers. So John knew who he was to answer the critics. John knew who he was to accept God's purpose. In verses 25 through 28, John knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly what he was doing. Can we say the same for us? Sometimes we go through the days, what'd I do all day? Or sometimes you wind up in a place that, why? How'd I get here? Okay? But John knew exactly what he was doing because in verse 25, he executed God's word. And they asked him in verse 25 and said unto him, then why are you baptizing then, if thou not be that Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet? You don't have any authority to do this. Yeah, he did. He executed God's word. You know, we need to execute God's word as Christ executed God's word. John chapter 9 verse 4, which we will get to, it says, I must work the work of him that sent me while it is what? Day. The night cometh when no man can work. John knew what he was doing because he executed God's word. God knew what he was doing because he expected God's work. He was out there in the wilderness eating locusts and honey and wearing skins because he was looking for Jesus. He was doing what God wanted him to do. He expected Jesus to show up at any time while he was in the ministry. Verse 26, and he says, John answers them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. And he's the guy that I'm preaching. And you better look out, because he's coming. He's coming. Titus chapter 2, verse 3 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. John knew what he was doing because he was executing God's word. He was doing God's word. He was expecting God to work. You know, how many of us give up when we start doing something for God and then it doesn't happen the way we want it? We just John could have done the same thing, but he didn't. John knew what he was doing because he esteemed God's worth. He had a correct attitude about God. Now, all these people in the Old Testament, when they were sent out, they all had a vision of God being high and lifted up, being holy, them being inferior, them being just a servant, God giving them the mission, God giving them the words, God giving them all this stuff. Verse 27 and 28 says, he it is who coming after me. He's coming. He's coming. He's out there right now. But you don't know him. He's preferred before me. He's higher than me. Whose shoes latch. allow, I'm not even worthy to tie his shoes. Verse 28, and we see that these things were done beyond Jordan. They weren't done in Jerusalem. Because you know what? Just like when Christ comes back the second time, he's going to catch the world out of nowhere. And everybody's expecting Christ to be in Jerusalem. Everybody's expecting, this is Jerusalem. This is the city of the great king. This is where all this is going to happen. It's happening out there. You need to be looking for it. You need to be looking for it. He esteemed God's worth. He said, the job that I've been given to do, it's amazing that I've been selected for it. You know, it's kind of like what Solomon did. Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 12, he says, but who is able to build him a house, seeing the heaven and earth and heaven of heavens cannot contain him? Who am I then that I should build him a house, save only to burn sacrifice before him? See, everyone that starts doing business for God understands that God's here and we're down here. And when we think we're here, we're actually down here. God knew what he was doing. So he could basically, because he executed God's word, because he expected God's work, because he esteemed God's worth. You know, we don't do anything in our lives unless we think it's worth it. So if we don't go out and witness, we don't think it's worth it. If we don't come to church, we don't think it's worth it. If we don't serve God, we don't think he's worth it. John did. And John knew what he was doing. The last part of this passage, John knew who he was looking for. John knew who he was looking for. See? In verse 29, we need to understand this. You must be looking to find Christ. It says, the next day, when you're doing God's word, when you're doing God's work, when you're doing his will, when you're doing, where you're in the right place, saying the right things, God's going to show up. Christ is going to show up. It says, the next day, the day after the Pharisees sent their messengers there, and he gave this, okay? The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. In Jeremiah 29, verse 13, it says, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. You think John the Baptist was sold out to God? Absolutely. Should we be sold out to God? Absolutely. John knew who he was looking for, but in order to find him, you got to be looking. You got to be looking. Oh no. Okay. In verses 30 through 33, you will know when you find Christ. I think every one of us in here who has have a personal relationship with Christ knows the moment we got saved. Knows the moment we met Christ. Knows the moment that he changed us. And we were born again. You will know when you find Christ. In verse 30, with humility. Once again, he points out. He says, this is he whom I said, after me cometh a man, which is preferred before me. For he was before me. You know, we keep on hearing of all these people who embellish the resumes. Who basically make themselves better than what they are. You know, the Bible says, if you think you're something when you're nothing, you're a fool. So, you'll know when you find Christ. John knew when he saw Christ. Because this is him. James chapter 4, verse 6. It says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. What was John's message in the first part of this passage? The fullness of us, of him, we've all received, and what? Grace for grace. Grace for grace. So you will know when you find Christ because you'll be humble in front of him. Secondly, when you're doing the will of God, verse 31. It says, and I knew him not. Okay? I knew him not, but that he should be made what? Manifest to Israel. Therefore I am come baptized with water. So what was John doing? John says, okay, God has put on my heart to go out here and do this. And I'm doing this. I'm looking for him. And you know, when you're doing what God wants you to do, you'll find him. You'll find him. When you're doing the will of God. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, it says, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might what? Receive the promise. So John had the right attitude. John had the right actions. John was looking for Christ. Wasn't going to be surprised by him, okay? He says, I don't know him yet. But boy, as soon as he saw him, he said, there he is. Folks, we need to know God. We can't be a witness for God unless we know him. We can't be a witness for God unless we know ourselves. In verses 32 through 33, you'll know when you find Christ, when it's revealed by the Holy Spirit. In verse 32, it says, and John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending upon from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him. And I know him not, but he that sent me to baptize, who's that? God the Father. With water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. So he saw him as sacrifice. Now he sees him as Savior. He sees him as Savior. John chapter 6, verse 44 says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Who told John the Baptist about Christ? God the Father. Who told us about Christ? God the Father. The Holy Spirit that he sent to convict us. Okay? And I will raise him up at the last day. See, John knew who he was looking for because he was looking to find Christ. He found Christ because he was ready to receive him with his attitude. He was ready to receive him with his actions. He was ready to receive him because the Holy Spirit did this. And John knew who he was looking for when the first immediate response is, you tell others. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Now, as we go through the rest of this chapter, this last point comes out. Because we know about John and Andrew. And the very first thing they say, once they are convinced because of John's record that this is the Christ, what did they do? They went and immediately, I mean James and John, they went immediately and told Peter and Andrew. And what did they do? They went out and immediately told someone else. They told Philip and Nathaniel. Folks, when we find what we're looking for, you'll want to tell somebody about it. You'll want to tell somebody about it. So tonight, are we listening? Are we listening to the voice? Are we still out there in the wilderness of sin? Come to him tonight. Come to him be his witness. That's what we're supposed to do. Acts chapter 1 says, ye shall be witnesses. Unto who? Unto me. Who is John the Baptist a witness of? Christ. Who are we supposed to be a witness of? Christ. Are we doing that job? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, we just ask for this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts, Lord, and help us, Lord, to be the witness and the testimony you want us to be.